Book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. We're going to read there in just a few moments. Let me take you to the Lord in prayer first. Father, we thank you for the great privilege to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we come today needy. There's not a one of us here that doesn't have some sort of need. And Father, I know today that I cannot meet those needs. I know, Lord, that there's too many of my own, but you can. Father, I know that there are things that are in this message you've laid upon my heart that are needed in lives. Lord, I don't pretend to know who or what it is that they need, but you know. And I ask you, God, today to take away the distractions, the wrong thoughts that we might get, and we might not only speak with clarity, but hear with clarity. Spirit of God, just move upon every heart. May we be open, susceptible to your leadership. And I think especially if anyone in this room is without Christ, that it might be a day of salvation. Lord Jesus, work in hearts, I pray, in his precious name. Amen. One of the reasons that people don't get saved is because we have an ineffective witness. We're not effective in what we do and say to the lost world. Book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I'm just going to quote this for you. We'll be in Ephesians in a moment. It says, "Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." A little later in the same chapter, he says, "Obey them and have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may, they must give account, they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." These are very solemn words of warning to not only listen, but to follow the directions that are given by the leadership God has placed before you. God has placed men in their positions for a reason. Does not mean they're better, but it does mean God did it. Notice in chapter 4, verse 11, normally we'd like for you to stand, but please just stay where you're at. Notice what it says, "And he gave some." I believe it's referring to churches especially. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." The office of apostle and prophet, I believe, are what you might describe as dead offices. No longer is there anybody there. But we do find that they're evangelists. I would liken them to what we call missionaries. And then it says, "and some pastors and teachers." Notice why. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." There's a reason that I stand in this pulpit. There's a reason that God has placed in this church of pastors. There's a reason that God has placed missionaries on the field. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Did you catch all that? Basically, God wants us to grow up. God wants us to mature that the body might increase. We're not going to see the body increasing without maturity. And when I think of increasing, I'm thinking primarily as we're adding more people to it. As we're reaching out into a community, there must be that thing of maturity taking place in the lives of the people. Let's read on. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Basically, God wants to change us, to mature us. I look at the front row, and I see four girls. And there are various stages of maturity. They are not little babies any longer. We don't have to change their diaper. They have changed since they were born. I don't think we'd have to dress them. I think they can probably dress themselves now. But they are not able to provide for themselves. They still need somebody to earn the money, to put the food on the table, to have the clothes for their back, and also to educate them. They have those needs. As they grow, they will take on greater responsibilities. And someday before they know it, somebody will be calling them grandma. Now to them at this age, that sounds silly, but to you grandmas, it hasn't been that long ago, has it? But God has done some things in your life to bring you to the spot where you can be grandma or grandpa. And so God wants to mature us. God wants us to grow. And the way that God does that's interesting, by the renewal in our minds. Do you realize this morning that we have wrong thinking before we're saved? And after we're saved, we come into this new life as a Christian and we still have wrong thinking and we need to have that mind changed. And those who grow in Christ are those who are willing to let God change their mind on some things. And if we're not willing to let God change our minds and to change our thinking from the way the world is to the way God wants it to be, we're not going to grow. It's not going to happen. And so you and I, we need to listen to God intently. We need to listen to preaching. We need to listen to teaching. We need to listen to all of these things, that we might grow and that we might become what we ought to become. You see, God wants us to become like Him, that we might be a better witness for Him. That is so needed in our lives. Wow. But I want us to go on in this chapter. The production of lambs can be made ineffective when the Spirit of God is grieved. Did you hear that statement? The production of lambs. What are lambs? Well, in the context of spirituality, it would be new believers. The production of lambs can be made ineffective when the Spirit of God is grieved. Let's notice what he says. Wherefore, if we're going to put on the new man, now he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I read the other day that the average person lies 2 out of 3 times of everything he says. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, who in this room doesn't like to hear somebody encourage them? If you like to hear it, then ought we not be doing it? Amen? Notice verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. He says, don't let bad things come out of your mouth, but that which is going to be helpful to your brothers and sisters in Christ and to others, that it may what? Bring grace into their lives. And not what? Grieve the Holy Spirit of God. If the Holy Spirit of God is being grieved by our lives, does that stop His ability in other lives to bring them conviction? Can we be a convictor in the lives of others by our lifestyle when He's busy being grieved by our lifestyle? I don't know if that made sense to you, but I hope it does. I hope that comes through somehow, some way. And then he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I believe this morning, if you're saved, you would like to see other people get saved. I believe this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you want somebody else to know Christ. You would like for your family members, you would like for your dad, your mom, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your children, whoever it might be, you would like to see them come to know Christ. I mean, seriously, wouldn't it be great if your whole family knew God? Wouldn't it be great at the next family reunion, it was like church service? I mean, seriously, wouldn't that be tremendous? But the very reason that has not happened so often is not because of other folks, it's because of us. We blame it on ourselves. But like Nathan, when he pointed at David and said, "Thou art the one." So often it comes back to you and to me. Say, what in the world are you talking about, preacher? Well, I'm looking at the context here, and the problem is that oftentimes we retain ill will with a brother or sister, and we make the Spirit of God grieve because His love cannot be seen in you. When you and I have this kind of mindset, and we are upset with this and upset with that one, the love of God is not being seen in our lives by others. So I'd love for them to get saved. Yeah, but you're holding ill will to somebody else, and it shows. And believe me, the world notices it. The lost man's looking for any excuse in the world to continually sin. That's why he says that church is full of hypocrites. And far too often they're right. Because of this one problem right here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The remedy is right there. Turn to the book of Matthew. Chapter number 18. Book of Matthew, chapter 18. There's this long story given here. Peter asked the Lord, "How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus said, "Until seven times, but until 70 times seven." In other words, I think the Lord is telling us this thing ought just not ever cease. Because let's be frank this morning. Most of us in this room, we need forgiven more than seven times. I mean, if that's the quota, we're done today. If that's the limit, I mean, boy, we can just hang it up. Now we can be mad at everybody. And he goes on and he gives a story. And he gives a story about a fellow who was forgiven a great deal. And then that fellow had somebody else. And they're talking about money in particular here. And so he forgave him of that debt. But he had somebody that owed him. And this guy says, "Boy, would you forgive me of my debt on this?" And he says, "Not on your life. You're going to pay everything you owe me. I've never understood this, but you're going to go to jail until you pay me." That really doesn't make sense to me. How's he going to earn a paycheck in jail? But that's what he says. And that's what takes place here. And then we find, and we'll go down to verse number 32. Verse number 32. Said, "Then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, 'O thou wicked servant.'" So here's what happens. The guy in the top of this chain that forgave first, forgave the guy that was second, and the second guy wouldn't forgive the third guy. The guy on the top here, he brings this other guy after he does not forgive. He's been forgiven, but he won't forgive. He brings him back in front of him. And here's what takes place. After he called him, said unto him, verse 32, right in the middle, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" Doesn't that make sense? If you have been forgiven, doesn't it make sense that you then would forgive others? He said, "I forgave you." But no, not you. You're not going to forgive anybody else. You're going to exact out of them. You want the vengeance. You want this. You want that out of them. Now let's notice verse number 34. This is telling. "And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." Wow. He had been forgiven, though he would not forgive others. So the first guy says, "Hey, wait a minute. You're not going to forgive? Then I'm just going to take that back, deliver you to the tormentors." Verse 35 says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now let's clarify something this morning. This is not talking about heaven and hell. Are you with me? You cannot lose your salvation. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," what? "Shall be saved." If you're lost today, that's what you need to do. It's as clear in the Word of God as can be. And that is your job, to call upon Him. Why? Because you need Him. I had to. Most in this room have had to do the same thing. We've recognized our need. We need forgiveness. What? We have a debt. What's the debt? It's our sin debt. The wages of sin is what? Death. He said to Adam and Eve, "In the day ye sin thereof, ye shall surely die." But But Jesus Christ came and did what for us? He died for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. He paid the price. What do I got to do? 16 push-ups and I can have that too? No, God said it's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He tells us we're saved by faith. What does he mean by that? If we will believe what he did for us. I mean, we believe it in the sense that we accept it. It's ours. Well, that's easy. Then why have you made it so tough? I mean, seriously, quite frankly, why have you made it so tough? That thing of salvation is settled. Now we're saved, and the Bible teaches us that, hey, we are to what? We're to grow. It's my responsibility as a pastor to what? Teach you things that you might grow thereby. And that's what we just read in the first part of there in verses 11 down. And so there's a responsibility. And so we pick up the Word of God, we look at it, and we see some things. And I'm going to teach you something right now that will change your life if you're not practicing it. What did he say to this guy? He said, if you won't forgive him, then you're not going to experience my forgiveness. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn you over to who? Who did he say he was going to turn him over to? The tormentors. I used to look at that and I thought, oh, that means that when I don't have forgiveness, then God's going to send me to hell. I've got to go with the devil. No. That's settled. And God has saved my soul. And He has forgiven me of everything. And God, if you're saved today, you are my brother in Christ. And sometimes you do some pretty dippy things. And you hurt my feelings. And I cry. You say, you're just kind of putting on. No, I've cried. Listen, when people say, I got my feelings hurt, so I won't go back to church. Why don't you pastor for a while? You get your feelings hurt. And I could walk around all day, miserable, no good for nothing, Christians in that church. Blah, blah, blah. No, you know what I got to do? The same thing you got to do to me. Because I do some pretty dippy, dumb things sometimes. A couple of you, if you're not, don't shake your head quite so hard, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to need a neck brace. Listen, this is right here. I never saw this before. Not like this. You know what happens when we're not willing to forgive? We're in torment. Yeah. We're in torment. You want to hear something really stupid? The people I'm upset with and I'm really mad at, they're not in torments. They're just going along. That even makes me madder. They're having fun in life and they've hurt my feelings. You know what I got to do? I have to forgive them. Yeah. I don't want to forgive them. Fine. That's your choice. Guess who's going to be with you? The tormentors. They're going to be your partners. Yeah. why do Christians have all of these mental problems? Because I'm looking at Rosie, because this is a woman knows how to forgive. Now, she's got a time. She's not perfect, but she's been around here a while, so I know she's learned how to forgive, because she's had to forgive me of a few dumb things. Otherwise, we carry around the tormentors. I think there are some people like carrying around tormentors. I don't like carrying them around. Huh? Doc, don't you like just being happy? It's a choice you make, isn't it? He's taught me that. Several years ago, he says, I had a choice to make, whether to be happy or not be happy. And I made the choice to be happy. Matter of fact, if he gets in an argument with D, you know what? He says, I can either be right or I can be happy. And the first time he said that, he said, I choose to be happy. And D was within ear rings. This is one of these things that women hear things when you don't think they do. And she says, and I like being right. God's good, amen. But we don't have to carry that around. How do we get rid of it? Forgive. And by the way, it's amazing when we start having a forgiving attitude, what kind of testimony we start being to other people. Because we're not looking at a bunch of other people who are not Christian and all the stupid things they do and looking at them with contempt in our eyes. And looking down upon them because we think we're better than them. Now, sometimes they're going to think things like that, but it ought not be because we have that kind of attitude. We need to learn how to forgive. Amen. And we of all people, if we know Christ as our Savior and we have been forgiven, we ought to know how to do it. Say, preacher, but I can't forget it. It's an amazing thing when you forgive somebody, how God can then begin to activate the forgetter. Oh, it'll always be there, but it's no longer in your eyesight. It's back here. Not out here. Taking every bit of your walk. Wow. I saw that word tormentors and I realized all of a sudden God is trying to teach us something. And that is, He can deliver us to the tormentors because we have an unwilling forgiveness in our heart, or He can deliver us from them. By the way, forgiveness is not a suggestion from God. It's a command. Did you know that? In Colossians, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Interesting, the next verse after that says, and above all these things put on charity. We can never really put on this thing of love until we have forgiven. He says, which is the bond of perfectness. And then he says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You can't let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You can't allow it because of that unforgiving attitude. Because they're walking around with a chip on their shoulder. Forgiveness removes the tormentors. I have 2 points. That's number one. Number two is this. Forgiveness makes you like God. Even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Makes you like Him. Because that's the business He's in. And if you're a child of His, then we operate in that too. Now that does not mean, brethren, that does not mean that we condone sin. Does not mean that we say, hey, that's good. I don't have to like what you do, but I need to love you and forgive you for being an idiot. And not think of you as an idiot any longer. And begin to start seeing things, but by the grace of God, there go I. And I have been there, and I've done it. My goodness, what a world it would be in if we learned that. Wouldn't have the problem in the Middle East, would we? We wouldn't have that bitterness towards groups of people. If we learned this, how we need to as God's people. Father, today work in our hearts. Oh God, there's folks in our reach and our touch, and there are those who are about us that they see that bitterness in our soul. They don't want what we have. Because we've not learned to be forgiving. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to see. Help us to realize. Help us to notice it. So often, Lord, we're even blind to it. We've carried it along so long, so far. And Father, for those in this room who don't know you, their sin has never been forgiven. They never by faith cried out to you, never asked you, never wanted it, never sought. God, I pray that today would be a day that they seek that. For you are ready to forgive. Lord, I pray that you would help them to understand and to realize it and to accept it this day, that it might be theirs. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at, please. You'd stand as the piano plays this morning. Listen, Christian, throw your pride out the door. If God has spoken your heart on this matter, why don't you get down here and just ask God to forgive you? Start with you and forgive you of having an unforgiving spirit, and then start forgiving. Not be carrying those things around because you have the tormentors that are with you. They're by you all the time. It's not a good spot. God doesn't want you there. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ your Savior. You're carrying around that sin. I mean, it's going to take you to your grave and into hell. You need to get His forgiveness. Let Him have His way. If you're one of those, would you just come and see me? Christian, if you can, if you just need to come and pray, do so. If you need somebody to pray with you, stop. I'll get somebody to do that with you. Let God have His way. don't know about you, but I'm glad that God forgives me. Amen. Do you know when I found out He did? After I asked Him to. By the way, Christian, you know there's some folks in your life, they have forgiven you of something you really did, but you don't know it yet because you haven't come and said, I'm sorry. Maybe they've tried to tell you, but until we come to that spot, they don't really register either. Interesting how life works, isn't it? Father, today work in our hearts. Bless. May You be glorified by what we do this week, our actions, even our thoughts, oh God. And we might have the right kind of heart and attitude, especially towards those we call brothers and sisters. And oh God, that our witness might be effective, we not be carrying around these articles of hate and disgust and so forth. Lord, that we might have a heart that's just open with love and rejoicing in You. God, work and bless in hearts and lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.